case, 6615, we've already dealt with. The next case then would be 6616. This is an application of Samadon Oil for an order allowing a second well to be drilled in and produced from a spacer unit at the Sapling Madison Pool, southwest quarter, section 4, 16195, Divide County, as an exception to the applicable field rules. All parties interested, please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Morrison, PO Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm appearing this matter on behalf of Samadon Oil Corporation. We do have one witness in this matter, and I ask that he be given the oath at this time.
Please raise your right hand. Tell us to tell the truth in this hearing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Examiner, this matter has been advertised as a hearing to allow a second well to be completed on a spacing in the Sadler Madison Pool. Since the time of filing this application, we've discovered that this completion of this well in the Madison Pool will also be an exceptional location due to its proximity to the quarter section lines and to an offsetting well. We have filed an application this week for a regular exception location hearing on the January docket, and that was filed, and we anticipate that it will be advertised here in the regular January docket. We've also filed an application to allow the Bakken and the Madison zones to be commingled in this well, and that's also going to be on the January docket. What we intend to do today is to really put all the evidence in the record relating to these matters, relating to allowing this well to be completed in the Madison and to be commingled with the Bakken. The other two hearings will occur in January. At this time, we move to incorporate this record into those hearings. Notice of the exceptional location has been given to the offsetting mineral owners. Samadon is the offsetting working interest owner. But rather than have another trip up here for Samadon official or representatives in January, we intend to incorporate this record into the January hearing. And with that in mind,
if someone shows up at that January hearing and wants to cross-examine the witness,
The only person that has really any standing is Samadon's mineral owner, and we'll make sure that if they do have a problem, we'll know about it ahead of time, and we will be here at that point in time. If that does happen, we'll have to deal with it. But we don't anticipate that there will be any exception. And luckily, there is only one, or I guess husband and wife, two mineral owners in the offsetting station.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we can do it that way.
We understand that somebody's there to appear, that there might be a problem, and we're willing to take that risk, and we'll deal with our mineral owners in that way.
Okay.
With that in mind, Steve, would you state your name, provide your business address, and tell us by whom you're employed and what capacity?
Steve Schmidt, employed by Samadon Oil Corporation at 1057 Pink Street, Denver, Colorado. I'm a petroleum engineer and handle Williston Basin operations for Samadon.
And as such, you've previously testified for this commission as an expert witness, is that right?
Yes.
Have you also brought with you certain exhibits you intend to sponsor today?
Yes.
And those exhibits have been prepared either by yourself or your control and supervision, is that right?
Yes.
Offer the further testimony, this witness is an expert.
Motion granted.
Steve, let's turn then to exhibit number one, and I'll ask you to identify the exhibit and briefly describe what's shown on there.
Exhibit one is a well plat showing two locations in section four. The southwest quarter specifically, the Johnson 1-4 was our original well in the southwest quarter, completed in the Madison, drilled only to the Madison. It's a fairly decent well, makes about 45 barrels of oil a day. That was about probably a year and a half, 2 years that we drilled that well. This past year we drilled the Johnson 2-4, the location in the southwest of the southwest quarter of section 4 was directionally drilled to avoid a surface the surface topography. We had a lake that grew with the heavy rainfall last spring, and the target was a deep deep well test. A geophysicist had targeted with seismic deep well that we were anxious to drill into. We subsequently built the surface location 500 feet from the west line and 600 feet from the south line to avoid this lake. We drilled it directionally, had about 1,000 feet or 1,300 feet of vertical section, TD'd it in the bottom hole location, and found no deep well porosity. Our kickoff point was approximately 7,600 feet, which took us vertically down through the Madison. After the kickoff point, we deviated, drilled down through the Bakken directionally through the Three Forks, and into the deep well. We ran casing past the Three Forks, completion tested the Three Forks, found it was uneconomic, and came up the hole and fracture stimulated the Bakken. Unfortunately, we're only making 5 to 8 barrels of oil a day out of the Bakken after a pretty major frack. With the Madison in the vertical portion of the cased well bore, we're hoping to go ahead and get approval for a second well on the Madison.
Now, because this was a directional well, you also ran a multi-shot survey in the vertical portion of the well, is that right?
That's right.
And as a result, do you know the location of the vertical well bore in the Madison?
That's correct. The vertical well bore, as we drilled it without directional tools, deviated naturally to the southwest, which took us across the what would have been the legal Madison boundaries.
What is the footage of that particular part of the hole?
In the exhibit that's shown on the well bore schematic,
it was 500, 600?
No, the surface hole was 500, 600. The top of the Madison turned out to be 413 from the west line and 582 from the south line.
And that's shown west on the schematic, which is Exhibit 4. It shows your location on Madison perfect.
Pardon me.
And just while we're on this plat, too, to make it clear, there's also a Madison well in the southeast of Section 5. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that would be the Nelson number 15 well, which is 500 feet from the south line and 750 feet from the east line. Is that correct?
Correct.
So completing the Johnson 2-4 in the Madison is going to be an exception because it's the second well in the spacing unit, but also because it's only 413 feet from the west line and approximately 1,200 feet from the Nelson 1-5 well. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, let's go on to the next exhibit, exhibit number 1A.
Exhibit 1A is a land plat showing that San Bonan is 100% working interest owner in Section 4.
Okay, well, on the land plat, too, it's also correct as a note that there are separate mineral owners in the south half of Section 4 and in the southeast quarter of Section 5.
Yes.
We go on then to exhibit number 2.
Exhibit 2 is... Before it out, it's a cross-section of the Madison wells in Section 5 and Section 4. In the lower right-hand corner, you can see a plan view of how this cross-section DB prime is running. It includes a cross-section from the southeast quarter section, showing the Nelson 1-5 well, going into the Johnson 2-4, into the Johnson 1-4, and then on north up to the two Tanberg wells that have been producing the field for several years. The main point to be made with this is that these Madison zones are very thin, tight stringers, and while they calculate significant oil in place, we're having a tough time recovering a very large percentage of oil in place just due to the tightness and the way you can complete these wells.
The perf for the Johnson 2-4, those are proposed perfs, right?
That's correct.
And they do correlate to the perforated zones in the 1-4.
That's correct.
Okay, well, we'll go on to Exhibit 2A.
Exhibit 2A is a structure map that Charles Basin Lap Salt, which is essentially the best control we have above the Madison producing porosity interval, shows that we have essentially a south plunging nose with the bulk of the Madison reservoir contained within the southwest quarter of Section 4. We have a structural high pretty much right where our Johnson 1-4 well was drilled, with the Johnson 2-4 coming off to the southwest, coming lower on the structure, and the Johnson and the Nelson 1-5 and Section 5 coming even down lower in the structure.
Okay, then let's go on to Exhibit 3.
Exhibit 3 is a wellbore diagram showing how we've completed the Johnson 1-4 and the Madison and various engineering data as far as casing surface equipment, how we're rod pumping the well.
Then Exhibit 4.
Exhibit 4, a similar wellbore schematic on the Johnson 2-4 showing the three forks was tested. Cast iron bridge plug shed by three forks. The docking was completed and fracture stimulated, and the showing that we have proposed Madison perch in this wellbore. I've attempted to show in that vertical section view how the well was directionally drilled, with the docking three forks and deep row in the deviated portion of the hole with the Madison in the vertical section of the hole.
Okay, well, this really shows the present docking condition.
That's correct. It's presently producing rod pumping the Bakken.
Then we summarize what's shown on Exhibit number 5.
Yeah, Exhibit 5, I've summarized information from defined curve analysis. I wanted to point out that the Johnson 1-4 is going to produce about 57,000 barrels of oil over an economic life of 8 years. It's declining exponentially at 23% per year. If you take your logs and you calculate the original oil in place on a 160-acre spacing unit, you'll find there's about 3 million barrels of oil in the ground. Unfortunately, 57,000 barrels of oil is only 2% of the original oil in place, so very low recovery factor, no matter how you look at this. The Johnson 2-4 was drilled to test deeper production intervals based on seismic information we had. They really didn't pan out for us. And turns out we had a case hole in the Madison. Based on the very low recovery rate, we feel that it would be prudent to go ahead and complete this well in the Madison as well.
Okay, and you're anticipating an additional 50,000 barrels of oil out of this well, correct?
That would be my estimate, that we ought to at least achieve the same performance that the Johnson 1-4 is achieving.
And your opinion is that all of that, or at least a substantial portion of oil and gas, that would not be recovered by the Johnson 1-4.
Yes.
And it's also correct as or not that you cannot afford to drill a well at a legal location and recover this additional 50,000 barrels of oil.
That's correct. The Madison well cost us about $650,000 to drill and complete, and based on the results of our program, our four-well program in the area in the last year and a half, I don't believe management is going to authorize drilling another well up there. Based on Madison reserves, we are talking about some possible horizontal work up there to see if we can increase the primary recovery.
And this is essentially going to a salvage operation, is that right?
That's correct.
And with respect to the commingling, is it also correct that at 5 to 8 barrels a day, the Bakken production is very near its economic limit?
That's
a standalone prospect.
That's correct.
And that by allowing that commingling, you'll extend that economic limit and allow the Bakken to continue to produce for an additional period of time?
That Bakken should recover 24,000 barrels of oil if we maintain it on production.
And that's oil that would be lost if you're not allowed to complete the 2-4 in the Madison and then commingle the Bakken production with the Madison, is that right?
That's correct.
And so in your opinion, will granting the relief that you requested prevent waste?
Yes.
And will it result in the greatest ultimate recovery of oil and gas?
Yes.
And will the parole rights of all owners be protected?
Yes.
I don't have any further questions. We would offer our exhibits in this matter.
Any questions? I have a couple of questions. Are there any common mineral owners in the southwest, pardon me, the southeast of 5 and the southwest of 4?
No, I believe they are separate mineral owners.
Okay. And the proposed perforations in the Johnson 2-4, are any of those porosity intervals separate from the Johnson 1-4? In other words, are you going to open some zones in the second well that you don't have open in the first?
Yes, we are, but what happened was we actually missed perforating the zone in the Johnson 1-4 that we should have perforated. We could go back in and get it. We're going to actually perforate that one in the Johnson 2-4. It was a mistake made.
Okay. So there will be one zone that hasn't been producing in the 1-4.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Can you find the Tornado production from the Captain and the Johnson 2-4 and the Rondo, or did you get it?
Only in the Johnson 2-4, we didn't drill the Johnson 1-4 into the Bakken. The one Madison interval that we missed, yes, at a later date on our workover, we hope to get in there and perforate that because it's a pretty good little porosity strainer.
The show that it's going to recover 2% of the oil in place on 160 acres. I mean, that is...
That's a tough question.
We reviewed the order, I'm sure, on this particular reservoir. The setback is 500 foot normally.
I didn't look at it specifically, but I'm sure it is 500 and 1650. It's 160 acres space, I'm sure it's 500.
So the only exception is the 413 foot from the west line.
No, it's also approximately 1,200 feet from the Nelson 1-5 well. There's probably I assume there's a 1650 interwell distance between wells, too.
There is the Nelson.
The Nelson 1-5 is 500 feet from the south line and 750 feet from the east line of section 5.
Okay. So there is a well in the southeast of that.
It's shown on the structure map. If you look at the structure map, it's the well. It's the D-prime well on the prospect map. It's shown on the structure map.
Okay. Thank you.
Sam and Ed still operate that well?
Yes. And it's 100% working at showing the well.
So the only people that might object to your exception location would be the mineral owners.
Right, and that's a Leslie and Mary Lee Nelson, and again, notice that the exception location went out to them on Monday in connection with the application for the January hearing.
Thank you.
Steve, you had indicated that these porosity zones are present in both Johnson and Wells. It appears that the low recovery factors are probably not interconnected, though, and what you're saying is you're going to recover an additional recovery, then you expect 50,000 barrels of oil from the 2-4 that would not be recovered by the other well, irregardless if they match up in porosity zones.
I think they are probably interconnected, but I think these intervals are so thin and so tight that we're not effectively draining that whole 160 acres.
Steve, looking at that exhibit number 2 on the 1-4 well, I can see where it was DST in about 3 different places. What kind of permeability were calculated from the DSTs on that?
Anywhere from a half to 2 millidarcies.
Was there quite a bit of formation damage?
No. No skin calculation that I can recall. A skin factor possibly 2 to 3 on pressure transfer calculations.
Thank you.
Just on the second zone that you found in the Johnson 2, do you feel that the majority of the oil that will be produced in Johnson 2 will be from that zone or from the common zone in those wells?
I think the majority of it will be produced from the common zones. I don't think that streamer that was missed in the 1-4 is going to be a significant contributor, although it does appear to have some of the better porosity.
I'll just comment that the proper spacing order for this pool is on a standard 160 with a 500-foot setback and 60-foot between the wells.
Good hearing, please. 6-1-6.
Thank you.